So women and men often have very different opinions on a number of gender-specific issues such as abortion or equity. Interestingly enough, research has shown that many women adopt political and social positions that favour men, and vice versa for men. Rob Brooke, Scientia Professor of Evolutionary Ecology at the University of New South Wales, is here with us today to discuss this paradox. Good afternoon, Rob.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me on, and happy International Women's Day, everybody.
Happy International Women's Day. So to begin with, let's start with one of Donald Trump, former US president, one of his first signed executive orders, which was laws regarding to abortion access. Now, the supporting cast surrounding Trump as he signed off was a group of men when abortion is inherently a woman's right. What is your thoughts on this?
Well, I mean, there's so many thoughts that one has. Like, you remember how that image just incensed everybody, sort of anybody sort of left of center around the world. The thing with it, though, is, you know, Trump was hamming it up for this male base of men who you feel like something's been taken away from them, and that, you know, that's part of what propelled him into office back in 2016. If he had wanted to, he could have found any number of high-profile women supporters of the what's called the Mexico City Declaration, which greatly restricts U.S. funding to NGOs that could possibly play a role in promoting abortion abroad. And he could have found all sorts of conservative women to support that, and they would have enthusiastically done so. In fact, the president of Americans Right for Life was a woman. She later became part of his cabinet. And so I guess the paradox for me is not so much why so many men there, but, you know, why is it that many women will take very positions that seem anti-woman? And that's where we began with this research.
No, it is very interesting research, and you also wouldn't think that women would want to disadvantage their own sex and gender like that. So my next question I have for you, what did you find when examining the differences between men and women in terms of issues which impact both parties?
Nearly anything where you can, you know, score something or poll an issue politically will show a difference between male and female voters. And that, you know, pollsters use that all the time. Parties use it all the time to try and, you know, decide who they were trying to appeal to and how to construct their messages. But the other thing about that is that even for something as dramatic as abortion, the differences are surprisingly small. We're really talking about a difference of, you know, 3 to 5% on most issues. So you've got these recognizable women's issues or recognizable positions that men tend to take more often than women. But when you look at the numbers, you know, there's much more variation within each sex than there is between the sexes.
Would you say that genders of children play a role in their parents' views on certain issues?
Absolutely. So that's where we went next, was to say, how are we changed by our children? Now, we know that male CEOs who have daughters are more likely to enact socially responsible practices in their companies, in the way that their companies, you know, deal with their labor forces, and also in terms of, you know, the way in which they allow their, or the kinds of work practices that they have, compared with male CEOs that don't have daughters and only have sons. Same thing with politicians. Politicians are much more likely to vote for reproductive freedom and autonomy type of issues if they have only daughters, and against if they have only sons. And so we thought, well, you know, we always thought that that type of effect, which is reasonably well known, was because your children change you. So as you go through life and you get used to seeing the world through your children's eyes, then, you know, maybe that's they're changing you because you're getting some kind of a taste for their lived experience and for what it is that they've had to deal with, and an empathy. But interestingly, there are some studies that show that as soon as you find out you have a son or a daughter, before they have time to grow up and you've had a chance to discuss things around the dinner table, we're talking at birth, or even in some studies, at the time in which you find out via ultrasound sex determination whether you're having a son or a daughter, at that time, people's politics tend to swerve a small amount, but detectably, either to the left or to the right, if you imagine the left being more women-friendly and girl-friendly positions, and to the right, less so.
So you definitely would say that families play a massive role in certain perspectives on various societal issues.
They play a role. And they, I mean, that's not to say that the first process I mentioned where your children, you know, shape you by sharing their experiences as they grow up, that also happens. These are two issues that in which you're influenced, sort of, they add up to each other. And so you can be very conservative and then have daughters who make you less conservative on gendered issues, and then possibly, you know that you're about to have a granddaughter and she might make you even less conservative again.
Last but not least, do you agree that gender can be a significant factor in one's own social and political identity?
Yes, gender is an important factor in your social and political identity. That's undeniable. And I think that, you know, a lot of what we're talking about today in International Women's Day is recognizing that. What this particular piece of research shows is that it's not immutable, that it can, even if you are a woman or even if you are a man, there are parts of your experience that are gendered in the way that you live as a woman or a man, or in how you navigate that, you know, in a more varied kind of a way. But the fact that your children and your grandchildren and your nieces and nephews can influence your politics and your a component of your gendered identity, I think is very interesting, because it means that we're not just dealing with, you know, Mars and Venus here. Obviously, Mars-Venus stereotypes are silly and have been breaking down for years anyway. But this is just another thing that undermines the hard notion that, you know, your biological sex equals your gender, equals your political identity.
Definitely given us a lot of food for thought today. Thank you so much for coming on air, Rob.
Thank you so much for having me and for the thoughtful questions.
That was Rob Brooks, the Scientia Professor of Evolutionary Ecology at the University of New South Wales, here with us on Drive this afternoon to discuss gender differences. Ultimately, it's never easy to trace the multiple factors that come into play into shaping societal and political attitudes, but we sure can try.